His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right. Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right.
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and the smells of North America. And if you are a regular listener, or if this is your first time listening to our broadcast, we are honored and we are privileged to make your acquaintance. This is Black Power Radio, the most hard-hitting, most revolutionary, most uncompromising radio anywhere to be found in 196,940,000 square miles of planet Earth. We open up our show giving thanks to the almighty, wise, true, and living God of our forefathers and foremothers. Thanking that one God for another chance at life and another chance to make right whatever is wrong in our lives and wrong in the world. We are thankful to that one God who answers to many names. And here on Black Power Radio, let it be known that we have a meiotic balance. We have a balance and an equality that we're here to tell you that there is no God without the Goddess. And so we give praise and honor to our forefathers and our foremothers who also have worked and built and organized and labored and manufactured great wonders and great works all down the wheels of time. And if you have not been introduced to what it is that your people, I'm talking about black people across the continent of Africa and throughout the world, what your people have done over the years, then you need to get you some J.A. Rogers in your life. You need to go and get you 100 Great Facts of the Negro. Get you some information that is outside of the little scrawny information that the media and the mainstream education gives to our people in the public killing fields, also known as the public education system that it gives to our people. You have to now begin to learn about yourself, and we have to learn about ourselves and understand that that little scrawny piece of history that they call in the United Snakes education system slavery, that system that they call slavery was like 2 pages of a 1,000-page book. We have generations of accomplishments, generations of great feats that we have produced and things that we have done. And so we can't get hung up and caught up on 2 scrawny little pages. And so we thank all of our ancestors and all of those who have made it possible for us to struggle in this hour and for us to build in this hour and think in this hour and just really exist in this hour. We are thankful and we give them honor and give them their just due and respect if nobody else does. Thankful for those within your own personal life. You know who they are. Within your own family, your own ancestry, your own lineage, and those who help you be here, as I'm helpful for those who have helped me to be here. We got to give thanks for all of the freedom fighters and those who have struggled, those who have taken lives and given life, ultimately making the ultimate sacrifice, making the ultimate sacrifice and transcending on in the heat of the battle as they felt it best to be slain on the battlefield or to be slain in the cotton field or to jump over into the mouths of sharks in the Atlantic Ocean rather than be a slave. All of those who have made that ultimate sacrifice and transitioned, and we even give honor and respect to those of the civil rights era. As you hear a lot of talk now about a man who was honorable in my eyes, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., as they unveil his memorial and his statue, he's long overdue for a true memorial, not a bastardized, commercialized memorial, but this is a man who was stabbed and hit with rocks and sprayed and dogs and all kind of things that he faced, and he kept fighting and kept the good fight going, regardless to whether you or I agree with his tactics or not. He was a brother who put the cause forward and lived his life in accordance to struggle and liberation. And so we also give honor to him and give honor to those such as Minister Malcolm X, who he's been reduced to a quote, but this is a man who was an international figure, a man who said that it was his goal to take the plight of us blacks or Africans here in America to the UN and throughout the world and to make it be known what is happening here in the hails and smells of North America. We give honor to every single cadre of the Black Panther Party, whether you're talking about Lowndes County, Alabama, and Kwame Ture, formerly known as Stokely Carmichael, or you're talking about New York City and Queen Mother Moore, or you're talking about the regimen that appeared in San Francisco and ultimately came up underneath Minister Dr. Huey P. Newton and Comrade Bobby Seale in Oakland, California. We give honor and respect to every regiment of the Black Panther Party and all of you out there who have carried that symbol of that panther, that resistance, that animal that represents the nature of the black man and black woman, that you don't bother anybody, but unless, if you're backed in a corner and put in a position to where you have to survive, you come out with all your might, with all your ferociousness, and you annihilate anything in your path. And we have to give honor, of course, to the party that we stand on today, giving honor to all of those who labored in the early days of the late 80s, and giving honor to a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man who took this platform and took this position and spread it across the hells and smells of North America and ultimately the world. We're talking about the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And, of course, we find ourselves giving thanks for his number one representative, national representative, and the man who was carrying on in his name and who was labored on in his name and pressed on in his name, and a man who carries the weight of being national chairman of this new Black Panther Party. I'm talking about our warrior lawyer and attorney at war, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Dear family, there is so much that is going on in this world and so much that is happening in this world. But we want to definitely encourage you out there in the listening audience to keep a smile on your face, because as you see what's happening in the news, happening overseas, what's happening in your own neighborhoods, you have to know that this is the fulfillment of all that was written by our people, all that was spoken by our people. And it was already said that in order to get to the promised land, that we would have to face war, revolution, and bloodshed. You often heard the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, say that we could not get free unless we faced and went through the Red Sea, which he said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught was war, bloodshed, and revolution. So that which you see right now in Libya, that which you see in terms of the U.S. not wanting to lift the embargoes against Cuba and the building anti-Castro lobby, and that which you see in terms of NATO and its gangsterism around the world, trying to usurp all African leadership and destroy Muslim countries to build what they call AFRICOM and build a base in Africa. That which you see right now, you have to know that it is the fulfillment of all that is divine, and that we have a divine purpose and a divine mission in this hour. And so the new Black Panther Party, we press on, and we continue to push on, and we expect and want to hear from our National Chief of Staff tonight, as we will hear from our brother Minister Hashim Nzinga. And this is a man who I told you in the last broadcast, if you would go back and listen to the broadcast we did in New Black Panther Theology just last week, in the early beginnings of the New Black Panther Party, I said to you that this is a man who you cannot properly mention the history of the New Black Panther Party. And you cannot mention the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. You cannot mention things like the Million Youth March and all of the successes that we've had as a party over a course of a few ten or so, a decade of years, without mentioning our big brother, our National Chief of Staff, Brother Minister Hashim Nzinga. And so we intend to hear from him tonight. And he will make it plain for us, as Minister Malcolm used to say. He'll make it plain. And he's a man who is a well-traveled man, a man who has crisscrossed this country on behalf of Black nationalism, Black power. He has crisscrossed this nation on behalf of this party. He is a man who has struggled for the liberation and salvation of our people in a true Pan-Africanist fashion. I'm saying all this to say that when you hear a person like myself, Sean Kwali, I understand that I did not come here of my own. As you hear me pay tribute to the ancestors, I know that there were people before me who labored. And you should know there are people before you who labored. And we have to always find ourselves being thankful for those who have labored and laid a groundwork so that we can work and that we can build and that we can push and that we can organize. And so we have much talent in the new Black Panther Party. And I know that there are those of you out there who you are confused by the propaganda. You're thrown off track by the propaganda. You're led astray even by the propaganda, and you don't know what to make of this magnificent, bold party called the new Black Panther Party. Well, hopefully, as you listen to this radio broadcast, and as you watch our works here in the hells of North America, you will begin to get a better understanding of what it is that we do and a better understanding of what it is that we stand for, a better understanding of who our leadership is, what it is that we represent, what it is that we're fighting for, what our mission is in this world, and what it is that we hope to accomplish with your help. We're not, and I am not, brothers and sisters, and even enemies listening, I am not under any illusion that we can do this by ourselves. Out of all of the Panther regiments that I named in the beginning of this show, none of them taught that any revolutionary act was performed without the people that it intended to liberate. We cannot get free, brothers and sisters, without each other. It will take us being communal. It will take us being in some good old black unity. It will take us having some black cooperative economics. It will take us having black self-determination to overthrow the conditions that we now find ourselves in and picking ourselves up by the bootstraps and dusting ourselves off and wanting for your brother and wanting for your sister what you want for yourself. So I encourage us, don't be thrown off by the propaganda, but that you check out for yourself our movement, that you go to our website, dayofactionmovement.org. Go to dayofactionmovement.org and find out what it is that we're doing. Look at the pictures, read the articles, listen to the audio, watch the video. Get our upcoming newspaper coming out here soon within the next month. The new Black Panther newspaper. Go online. Check out our previous editions. Read those who understand what's happening in terms of the liberation struggle. Why would you rely on an old fogey like Bill O'Reilly, an old fogey, an old crinkled individual, a man who has no connection to the black struggle, the black liberation struggle? Why would you rely on your enemy to tell you about a liberating fighting force that is here to organize the people towards self-determination and overthrow the conditions of our community? Why would you rely on a slanderous newspaper like the New York Times? Why would you rely on them to tell you that which would liberate your mind and free your behinds and get us out of the oppressive conditions that we find ourselves in? Why would you allow CNN, a.k.a. CNN, to tell you about the works of the new Black Panther Party and its leadership and its chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz? Never in history has the enemies of a righteous people or the enemies of African people or the enemies of freedom fighters and liberators and strugglers, never in the history of the world has the enemies of such a people or such a movement or such an organization told the truth about that movement, that organization, and that people. And it's no different in 2011 or 2012 or 13 or 14 or whatever we're blessed to see. It won't be any different. You should ask yourself why a news channel like Fox News pays money to promote itself as being fair and balanced. Something that is fair and balanced doesn't have to constantly remind you that it's fair and balanced. It just acts in fairness and balance. But the fact that there is a million-dollar campaign, I should say multi-million-dollar campaign, to promote fairness and balance in terms of its newscasting, its broadcasting, its media outlets, should send up a red flag in the mind of any intelligent thinking man or woman. The fact that most of the commentators, most of the reporters, the journalists, they're either attorneys, ex-attorneys, or they oftentimes are a biased political analyst, or they are ex-generals, should send red flags, or even at times they've been ex-presidential advisors and in the ex-cabinets of this government, should send red flags up in your mind. It should let you know, as a thinking man and a thinking woman, that this is a propaganda machine. And when I say Fox News, I call them Fox Jews. You got to study for yourself. But as you look at these propaganda machines, just because I say Fox News, I'm not excluding MSNBC. Just because I'm saying MSNBC, I'm not excluding any of the other outlets that are out there. They are all connected and they all serve a purpose. Why is it not free journalism? Why do they have to read from a teleprompter and they have scripts and they have people that write down what they're supposed to say and what they're supposed to be reporting about? When you look at the situation in Libya right now, when you look at what's going on in Libya right now, it is very clear that the media outlets, Fox and NBC and CBS and on and on and on, that they were lying the whole time. They sent a report out to the world that they had captured, that the supposed rebels had captured one of the sons of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, that they captured his son. And then in just almost instant fashion, a video came out that showed his son cheering with the Libyan people, the pro-Gaddafi support, showed him in front of a hotel cheering and rallying the people. I'm talking about thousands of people cheering and in support of the Gaddafi regime and the Gaddafi rule. But if you would have relied on MSNBC, if you would have relied on CNN, if you would have relied on these other media outlets run by these satanic devilish forces, they would have made you to believe that these supposed rebels had taken over the city of Tripoli and taken over Libya, and that they were in full control. All the while, Libya is unstable. It's in a state of instability. All the while, there are agents and provocateurs running wild, trying to incite situations. All the while, there's Hollywood stages being shown throughout the world the same way that they did the moon landing. If you know anything about the moon landing and Buzz Aldrin and them boys, you know that initially the U.S. did not go to the moon. If you know anything about the moon landing, you understand when you look at the video that as they're supposed to be in outer space, you see wind from an air conditioner, I believe it was, moving the supposed American flag that was planted on the moon. In outer space, anybody knows, out of space you have no oxygen. And so at best, the moon would have stayed in place because there was no gravity. It wouldn't have blown away and blown around. And it later came out that it was a hoax, that they were trying to defeat and beat other countries to the space, what they call the space wars. They wanted to beat them in going out and out of space. And so instead of having the equipment and going up and going out, they put it on a Hollywood stage, Hollywood sound stage, and they made damn near, they made a movie and shot it to the world as though they went out of space. And so if they would go to these kind of lengths to lie to you and to lie to me about something as simple as going to the moon, what makes you think that they would tell you the truth about what's happening overseas? What makes you believe that they would tell you the truth about the purpose, the real purpose of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense? What would make you think that they would tell you the real aim and objective of our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, or anybody that's here working on the behalf of black people who are here in the hills of North America? There's nobody else, brothers and sisters, who catches it the way that we catch it. There is no other people who have suffered in the manner that we have suffered. And even though we are sensitive as a respectful people, we are sensitive to the struggle of all peoples, and we see what happens all over the world, and we are sensitive to injustices of anybody and any people. We understand that the Black Holocaust, we ain't talking about no so-called Jewish Holocaust, we're talking about the Black Holocaust here in the hells of North America, that we have paid the hell of a cost, and that we have paid the ultimate cost, that we are the people who have been robbed of our names, robbed of our language, robbed of our culture, robbed of our folkways, robbed of our norms, robbed of our power of our own being, and even robbed of our own minds. We have lost everything that has made us a powerful people. How is it that our people once could build pyramids and build statues and build civilizations that were in connection to the cosmos and lined up with the stars? But now you find far too many of our people trapped in the projects, trapped in the so-called ghettos and the hoods of North America, trapped with economic disparity, trapped with hopelessness, trapped with low self-esteem, trapped with no family value, no family structure, trapped with nowhere to go. How do you find us here in the hills of North America in this condition when it was our forefathers and our foremothers that once governed the entire planet? It was our forefathers and our foremothers that gave alchemy to the world. Our forefathers, our foremothers that gave science to the world. Our forefathers, our foremothers that gave mathematics to the world. Our forefathers, our foremothers that gave chemistry to the world, government to the world, law and order to the world, justice to the world. Our forefathers and foremothers collectively organized and made and built this world. But now, the descendants of those people reap none of the benefits that the best that we could get in terms of American democracy was to be thrown in the holds of ships as a people, in the Nina mentioned the Santa Maria, all of that, in the ship named Jesus, all of that. We didn't come in none of that. We came specifically as slaves. We didn't come, pardon me, in those Nina mentioned Santa Maria, none of that. We came as slaves in a ship they called Jesus. And all these royal names, we were treated less than human, called three-fifths of a human being. Our people faced Jim Crow. We faced black codes, black laws. We could not sit in movie theaters with white folks. We couldn't ride comfortably on the bus with white folks. We could not drink as a people out of certain water fountains next to white folks. We could not do anything that showed that we were equal in this society. And so today, all that we have to show for ourselves, in most cases, in many cases, is poverty and miseducation and dissatisfaction. And so this is why, brothers and sisters, we have to have a revolutionary change in the black community. We have to have, some of you are afraid of that word, that revolution. Don't be afraid of revolution. Revolution only means complete constructive change. It means change that knows no compromise, change that intends to uproot and overturn anything in its progress. Hell, many of you see the hurricanes. You saw Hurricane Irene. You see the way tornadoes tear through your communities and tear through the communities. When you see these hurricanes and you see what they call natural disasters, these natural disasters, they spin or they make revolution. And as they are making their revolutions, they either pick up strength or they lose strength. But as they're making their revolution, these revolutions tear up anything in its process, anything in its path, anything that's stopping it from reaching its destination. And in like manner, when you have a social revolution, when you have a revolution by those who are dissatisfied, by those who have been mistreated, by those who have been dogged out, by those who have been kicked out and pushed out, by those who are not wanted, by those who are miseducated, by those who are the ones to do the best labor and get paid the least. When you see a revolution from that kind of people, you see those who intend to get free and intend to have justice and intend to be dignified, men and women, by any means necessary. And so this is the hour that we live in today. As you saw it kick off in Egypt early in the year, you saw the youth go to the streets angry because their parents were not receiving decent wage and their parents were not being treated properly by that U.S. puppet, Mubarak, Hosni Mubarak. You saw the youth in Egypt go buck wild because they were upset at the fashion that their nation and their people were being treated and their nation was being run. And so you saw them work for change, making revolution. They began by having rallies in the square and what they called, homage to us here in America, a million-man march. They couldn't go to work. For those of you that say that you can't organize because your job is in the way, or you can't organize because you got this tied to the system or that tied to the system, and you can't make specific maneuvers because you're scared that you're going to miss a few dollars. If you want real change, you're going to have to take some time off of work from time to time, buddy. You're going to have to tell your boss. That's what I said. You're going to have to tell your boss that you're sick, that you're not feeling good. And when they ask what's wrong with you, you're going to have to be bold enough. Going to have to be courageous enough. Going to have to be able to make the kind of stand. You tell that boss, I'm sick of working for you. You're not going to get free. And we're not going to get free being so tied to the system that you can't make moves for yourself. This is a 6,000-year-old order of white supremacy that has been in existence. And over the last 440-plus years here in America, there's nothing that has systemically changed the order and way of rule of white people over the darker peoples of the planet Earth. And so in order to make a revolutionary change, you're going to have to do something outside of the box. You're going to have to be willing to make some people uncomfortable and at times be made to feel uncomfortable and be uncomfortable, but to know that it's for the ultimate sacrifice of your family, yourself, your friends, and your people if necessary. You're going to have to be willing to make that kind of change and that kind of move so that our people can make the proper steps and the necessary steps to get free in the hells of North America. If you're so tied to your job, so tied to your car, your material possessions, so tied to your house, and so tied to this and that, which does not equate to freedom, then we will be here 400 years later still talking the same talk. But see, the white man is not that kind of enemy to let you and me go on for 400 years on a march for freedom. The white man is the kind of evil activist. I'm talking about those in power, the white power structure. They are the kind of evil activist that they would not let you go on or me go on another 400 years, but that they would begin to move on us so fast that they would stomp out any light of black activity. Where is the black newspapers today? Where is the black radio stations today? Where are the black entrepreneurs, strong entrepreneurs today, and businessmen today? Where are the strong black athletes today? Where are the strong black thinkers today? Where are the strong black people in the hells of North America? Is the media correcting what they say about us? Are we just criminals? Have we just been deduced to criminalization and being criminals? Are we no better than just athletes and rappers and entertainers and coons and buffoons for white people? Is that the best that we can give after 400 years of suffering in the hells of North America? Where are those of you who are willing to make a stand and make a change so that the future generations don't have to go through this foolishness in the hells of North America? Where are those of you that are willing to put one foot in front of the other and change the world and change your own condition and change your own community? Where are those of you that are willing to have the spirit of a Dr. Martin Luther King? I ain't talking about no statue engraved in a mountain. I'm talking about his spirit, to where he was willing to confront oppression head on and to meet white supremacists and those who would oppress our people head on in the streets. He was willing to hit the concrete and walk hundreds of miles, for a cause that he believed in, for truth that he believed in, so that he could secure justice for our people. Where are those of you who are the sisters like Fannie Lou Hamer, who were not afraid to speak truth to power regardless to whom or what, who was not afraid to organize in the face of sexism, in the face of racism, in the face of injustice? Where are those types of sisters? Have you been deduced to showing yourself on the screen like Little Kim? Is that all you got for our people, that all you can do is be a sex object and you cannot think for yourself and not speak for yourself and not be a true revolutionary black woman in this hour? Where are the Winnie Mandelas in this hour? Where are those of you that are the Asada Shakurs in this hour, the Afani Shakurs and the Angela Davises in this hour? Where are the queens at and where are the kings at? I'm here to tell you that no matter what it is that you think about the new Black Panther Party, that we have a damn good start in the hells of North America of rounding up kings and queens and revolutionary thinkers here in the hells of North America. That in truth, if you want true revolutionary action, I'm not talking about civil rights action. I'm not talking about mainstream establishment action, whereas the Black Power General said, you're arrested by appointment. You tell your wife, I'll be in jail at 12 noon and I'll be out by 6. We ain't talking about that kind of action. We're talking about the kind of action where you don't know if you're coming home tomorrow night. The kind of action where you say, no matter what happens today, I'm doing this for my babies, I'm doing this for my people, I'm doing this so that we don't have to spend another 450 years miseducated, mistreated, and denied equal rights and justice. I'm talking about the kind of action that is like Hurricane Irene, that when it comes through, it is designed and destined to uproot and overturn and to liberate everything in its path. The new Black Panther Party has the best thought, in my estimation and judgment, and call me biased, of anything out there in the hills of North America. We are the last all-black group standing, as far as I can see. If there's any of you out there that are still all-black, then here, raise your hands and come on with us and let's organize together. But as far as I can see, we are the last black, all-black group standing in the hills of North America and throughout the world. There is, as far as I can see, no other group standing that believes in an all-black platform anymore, a Pan-Africanist platform anymore, a revolutionary ideology designed specifically to liberate the sons and daughters of Africa anymore. I don't see them groups anymore. Most of you have been decimated by the white man. Most of you have been infiltrated by the white man. Most of you have been taken over and overrun by the white man or the Arab man or even the Asian man and the Hispanic man. There is no other group that is predominantly that I can see. All black. On a mainstream front line. Don't see you anymore. So the new Black Panther Party, we know the weight that is on us. But we also know the talent that we have. And we know the value of the program and the ability that we have. And so we will not allow a no good crinkle devil cracker like Bill O'Reilly to tell our story. Or Sean Hannity, a no good white supremacist racist to tell our story. We will not allow you evil scribes and writers like the New York Times and the Washington Post and so many of you other evil scribes to tell our story. We will tell our story our damn self. We will begin to produce our own videos. If you want to see a real informational guerrilla campaign, keep your eyes on the new Black Panther Party. We're going to begin to recruit you rappers, you videographers, you photographers, and those of you that are artists. We're going to begin to build a revolutionary informational ministry and campaign so strong that damn CNN and Fox News and MSNBC, they look like child's play. Keep your eyes posted on the new Black Panther Party. Keep your eyes on alert for our websites and our papers and our pamphlets and even, hell, our speaking engagements. We're not somewhere hiding behind some rock somewhere, hiding in some hole, some foxhole somewhere, somewhere hiding and shivering in some closet. We are on the front lines. I'm on Black Power Radio on the front line before the world right now. And our party and organization is before the world right now, and it's been before the world, and we don't intend to slow down at all. Let me let you know some of the things that we got going on right now. For those of you who are quick to always ask, what is it that you do? What do you have going on? What are you accomplishing and all of this and all of that? Let me inform you very quickly what it is that we're doing right now. Right now, brothers and sisters, this is just one iron that we have in the fire, one event that we have in the fire. Right now, We are on our third installment of our National Days of Action. And if you don't know what the National Day of Action is, the National Day of Action is days that we select as a community to make something good happen for the black community. The National Day of Action is a day that is selected to where you can, anything that you believe is wrong in your neighborhood, anything that you believe is wrong first starting in your household, anything that you believe is wrong in your religious community or your political community or your everyday existence, you on that day, in conjunction with 60 or more cities in America, in conjunction with cities in Africa, in conjunction with cities in the UK, in conjunction with cities in Canada, in conjunction with really the entire black world in existence, you on that day can begin to work to solve the issues of our community. There is nothing of good that you can do on that day that is off limits. Whatever it is that you feel like you can do of good on that day, it is wide open to you. Some of you like to have rallies. Some of you like to have demonstrations. Some of you like to have giveaways. Some of you like to deal in the medical field and have health screenings and medical checkups. Some of you like to deal with the youth. Some of you like to deal with the gangs. Some of you like to deal with the elders. Some of you like to deal with the political prisoners. Some of you like to deal with media and journalism. Some of you like to deal with mentorship. Whatever it is that's your thing, brother and sister, on that day, it's wide open to you. But let me make it plain in case you're confused. The National Day of Action is not designed to be one day. It is not designed to be April the 23rd or June the 25th or our upcoming October the 1st. According to our ancient African traditions, and as it is read in the Bible, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So we're not talking about one solitary single day on a Gregorian calendar. We're talking about a sustained period of time that we have set aside to do as much that we can for our people, as much positive and good as we can for our people. We have set aside all of the days of our life to organize in our greatest years, in our next upcoming years, by the grace of the God, to organize on behalf of our people, to overthrow and overturn these conditions heaped on us by this society. Be under no illusion that these conditions our people face are just happenstance, or they just happen to be this way. I hear some of you talking and you say, it's been like this for a long time. It stays like this and it's never going to change. You are a fool. You sound like the dry bones in the valley. You sound like the dry, desperate bones in the valley that had no water. Water symbolizing life. You have no life in you if you believe that the conditions of our people will always stay the same and only stay the same. You have no life in you. And more importantly, you have no vision in you. If you have vision, vision is supposed to be the ability to see beyond the present condition. As they say, what faith is, the evidence, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. You are supposed to have the vision and the faith to be able to see beyond your present condition. If you can see beyond the present condition, then you are primed and fit to be a revolutionary. But if you can only see what is outside of your door, if you can only see the drugs that are in this community, if you can only see the prostitution and gang warfare that is in this community, if you can only see the disrespect of our elders and our people in this community. If you can only see the disparaging economic numbers and the dilapidated housing in our communities, the lack of trust and disunity and apathy in our communities, if you can only always see police brutality existing in our communities, then you are not fit yet to be a revolutionary. You can't walk the kind of walk that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. walked. You can't walk the kind of walk that Fannie Lou Hamer walked. You can't walk the kind of walk that Booker T. Washington walked. You can't walk the kind of walk that Toussaint Louverture walked. You cannot walk the kind of walk that Edward Blyden walked and Marcus Garvey walked and Elijah Muhammad walked and Noble Drew R. Lee walked and any of our great brothers and sisters, male and female. You cannot walk that kind of walk. You're not suited and you're not fit for it because all you can see is the present condition that was heaped on us by our oppressors. All of you that sing slave hymnals about we shall overcome, at least in that song, they had the vision to say we shall overcome. At least they believed that someday they would overcome. But we can't in 2011 sit around talking about we shall overcome. We don't have the kind of time to sit around thinking about we shall overcome or what we're going to do someday. Hell no. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. The next day is not promised to any of us. We have a duty to our forefathers and foremothers, our ancestors, our family, to make a difference today so that the future can be different. And so our national days of action have rolled on two successful times. Both times met with much opposition from the state and the establishment. There is no way that you will be able to exercise black self-determination without the establishment and the state exercising its white supremacist power structure and the powers it operates with on you and me. Both times, April 23rd and June the 25th, we were met by law enforcement agencies. We were met by undercover agencies. We were met in some cities by Homeland Security and dissatisfied members of government. We were met every time with those who were not happy with seeing the once slave, those who are supposed to be the despised, the rejected, the miseducated, the divided, the criminal, they say. They were not happy to see us organizing in black unity, in black love, being just amongst ourselves, having our own government amongst ourselves, and even protection for our own elders and children and women. They were not happy about that. And so they came out, even in some cities where we had permits to march and permits to rally. They still tried their best to thwart the efforts of the organizers. But I'm happy to say to you, brothers and sisters, and even to the enemies that are listening, that we did not succumb to their efforts. We did not slow down, not one iota of a second to their efforts, but that we carried on and that we said, damn it, if we're going to go down on this day, then we're not going to be the only ones going down. That if something's going to happen on this day, it's not just going to happen to black people who are determined to have self-determination. Both April the 23rd and June the 25th ultimately was smash success. And we expect no less for October the 1st. By October the 1st, we intend to ship in our international effort, we intend to ship 3 tons or over 3 tons of goods to South Africa. As you are watching and witnessing right now, the bombardment of African nations and African countries, you're watching a campaign spearheaded by NATO right now and NATO forces right now. You're witnessing the ravaging and the pillaging of Africa and the continent of Africa right now. We intend in the new Black Panther Party to support our mother continent, our mother country that has given birth to everything good in this world and even ultimately caused us to be here. We intend to support our continent and country against U.S. imperialism and embargo, France imperialism and embargo, England's imperialism and embargo, and every no good cracker nation that makes up NATO. See, you all hear this. You all hear us talk about NATO, but many of you don't even know what NATO is. You haven't taken the time to study what it is that makes up NATO. You just hear about it on the news and you don't even think about it. I'm going to let you know what it is on Black Power Radio. I got to let you know the reason why this stuff is happening in our mother continent and ultimately why we are in the position that we're in here in the hills of North America. Number one, in terms of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi in 2010 made a proposal. He made a proposal to the African Union not to let any U.S. base on African soil. This is 2010. Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, the man that's being vilified right now in the media, being slandered right now by U.S. media, put on the run right now for his very survival, him and his family's survival by NATO right now. He is the one that stood up as a man who has African blood and African lineage. He stood up in 2010 and made the proposal to not allow any U.S. base on African soil. And guess what? The resolution was adopted by the AU. The resolution was picked up. And so there is no U.S. base. There is no permanent U.S. base in Africa. Right now, they are reportedly trying to negotiate with an old Tom named Djibouti. They're trying to negotiate with an old Tom. You know, we've always had Uncle Toms in our nation. They're trying to negotiate. But the African Union accepted Muammar Gaddafi's proposal, and they did not allow any U.S. base on African soil. And so right now, what you're looking at in terms of what you see in Libya, in terms of what you see popping up for Syria, in terms of what you see popping up in Egypt, and that what you see that was proposed and put on by other African nations in Tunisia and other areas, when it comes to the U.S. interest, and when it comes to NATO's interest, you're watching the overthrow. They're trying to overthrow all of those who won't buck dance to the dictates of U.S. imperialism, U.S. colonialism, and U.S. dictatorship. See, while they're talking about so-called U.S. democracy, why have they not given the sons and daughters of Africa here in America true democracy? Why have they not established true justice for the black man and black woman here in the hills of North America? As we already know, U.S. democracy is nothing but U.S. hypocrisy. So what is NATO? NATO is a coalition. And right now, what's on the table is that all NATO countries, all countries that are involved with NATO, that once Gaddafi is toppled and once certain areas are liberated in their eyes from the strong African leadership, that they will split up, that they will have special splits and split up the resources and split up the wealth of the country. And so they have to paint the African leadership, the strong African leadership and indigenous leadership, as criminals. They have to say that they're killing their own people, that they're massacring their own people, that they're decimating their own people. But all you're looking at is an overthrow. And so what is NATO? And let me not forget before I move on with that, about BP, the gas company, British Petroleum. Yeah, that's right, that company that was in trouble for allowing all that oil and whatnot to get off into the ocean. BP has stakes in the overthrow of Libya. They have stakes in the toppling of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. They have stakes in the establishment of U.S. bases and U.S. colonized control in Africa. They have a man there named Mark Allen, who rose into the leadership of British Petroleum. He's a former officer. With a group called the M16 or the MI6. Mark Allen, but he rose into leadership, and they negated all of the protocols to raise a leadership, to select somebody in charge, and they put him in office because of his credentials, his military credentials, because they are intending on taking over the continent of Africa and establishing oil trades and having the resources and the wealth split up amongst the cracker nations in NATO and other European colonizing countries. NATO itself is representative of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It's based on the North Atlantic Treaty, signed April the 4th of 1949 in Washington, D.C., right there in the old capital, Washington, D.C., they signed a treaty called the North Atlantic Treaty. And the original 12 nations that signed this treaty, that they consider the founding nations of this treaty, you got Belgium, you got Luxembourg, you got Canada, you got Denmark, you got France, you got Iceland, you got Italy, you got the Netherlands, you got Norway, you got Portugal, you got the United Kingdom, and the United States. Those are the original founding nations, the original 12 nations. You talk about the 12 tribes of Israel. Hell no, this is the 12 original founding nations that make up NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Later, these nations were joined by Greece, Turkey, West Germany, Spain, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, Bulgaria, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, Albania, and Croatia. So all in all, when you hear about NATO, you're talking about 28 member states or nations. You're talking about 28 member nations that form a military body, that form a international web of nations that ultimately represent one nation, one maneuver, one organization. They have something called an Article 5 that each of the treaty commits each member nation to consider an attack against one state, an attack against all states. You remember the old saying, one for all and all for one. Well, hell, so many of you are hard on the gangsters and the gang members. How when you attack one of the gangs, you're attacking all of the gang. But hell, that's exactly how the United States rolls. That's exactly how the United Kingdom rolls. That's exactly how Germany and Spain rolls. That's exactly how those involved with NATO roll. They are gangsters. You recently heard President Robert Mugabe tell you that NATO is a terrorist group and a terrorist organization. So now that you know what NATO is, as you hear it come across CNN, as you hear it come across Fox News, as you hear it come across these media propaganda outlets, now you have a clear understanding of what NATO is. It's not just some little organization, some non-profit organization. These are nations, 28 currently, 28 member states that are designed to work collectively for specific goals and specific agendas. And in this case, the specific agenda is imperialism. Remember that they consider an attack against one state an attack against all states. Now, this doesn't really it doesn't really pan out when it comes to oftentimes other European nations or other white nations. It only involves the darker nations, the African nations, the Muslim nations, those that are not involved with U.S. imperialism, white supremacy, and all that. That's when they enact these Article 5s. They had a situation because the treaty was originally created when the Soviet Union attacked Western Europe, but they didn't call no Article 5 then. When the Soviet Union attacked Western Europe, they didn't use no Article 5 clause. They didn't invoke the right to attack with an Article 5 and one nation. All the nations went up against the Soviet Union or went up against all of Western Europe. They let bygones be bygones. But when it came, now the most recent time that they enacted this Article 5 clause, guess when it was? It was September the 11th. September the 11th. In the September the 11th so-called attacks, that's when they enacted this Article 5 on the so-called alleged attacks on the Pentagon. That's when they enacted this Article 5. And so here, a baby could see that they pick and choose when they want to enact this Article 5. And this was a maneuver that was called Operation Eagle Assist. Don't you forget that. Operation Eagle Assist. That's when they enacted Article 5 for 9/11 and the Pentagon and all of that. That's when all of these nations came together and said, we're going to be one nation, and anybody who touches you touches us too. Now, combined, this NATO alliance accounts for 70% of the world's defense spending. And check this out, brothers and sisters. The U.S. makes up about 43%, approximately 43%. Of that spending, with the UK, France, and Germany, and Italy accounting for only 15%. So 43%. You're wondering where your tax dollars are going to. You're wondering where everything you're being taxed for work is going to. 43% of that spending comes from the United Snakes of America, the most costly budget that the U.S. has. It is beyond a shadow of a doubt their defense budget. It is beyond a shadow of a doubt them paying to keep the military and to keep the police and to keep the Navy and to keep the Marines and to keep all this military activity in the hells of North America. But you, as a thinking man and thinking woman, should ask yourself this question. How is it that there's 43% of spending going on in terms of defense and a defense budget, and the most expensive budget that the United States government has is defense and military, but that the black community is the most underprotected community of any communities in the hells of North America? How is it that so much crime, so much filth, so much destruction, so much despair, so much devastation goes on in the black community, but that there's 43% spending out of all of the spending, that almost half of all the spending that NATO does, it is for defense. And all of the spending out of everything that the U.S. spends for, it is about defense. How is it that we are so underprotected as black people here in the hills of North America. How is it that these same institutions that take our tax dollars, that take taxes from our monies and our paychecks and our foods off the top before we even get it, how is it that these same institutions are the same institutions that are killing us in the streets of America, that are causing incidences like a Sean Bell to happen, causing incidences like a Oscar Grant to happen, causing incidences like Anthony Hills to happen, and Sister Teresa Odessa, and on and on and on and on and on. I mean, just a laundry list of young black males and black females that have been assassinated and murdered at the hands of savage, crazy police officers running wild throughout the hills of North America. Just a few months back, they were practicing military maneuvers in the streets of Chicago, Illinois. I don't know if some of you saw this, if any of you saw this or read this, but just a few months back, they were practicing door-to-door training missions and search missions in the hills of North America in Chicago, Illinois. How is this able to happen? Who are they preparing this for? They're damn sure not preparing it for themselves. They're preparing it for you and I, brothers and sisters. So I want to bring on a caller here. Hopefully it's our special guest. But I want to bring on 202-397. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. What's happening?
Hey, Black Power, National Chairman of Black Power, sir.
Brother, I want to commend you for doing an excellent job preaching.
Thank you, sir.
On this radio show. And I want to let everybody know that I will be back on Wednesday night. I have so much work to do tonight that I have to come back on Wednesday night. But certainly our national spokesman and my national spokesman is doing a hell of a job. So I'm going to continue to listen in and listen to the question and answer session so that we may move forward. Obviously, what we're trying to do is assemble a cadre, assemble a united front of the best, strongest, most revolutionary organizers and activists and nation builders anywhere in America. That's what we're trying to do, to build a cadre and a united front of the most dedicated, skilled, conscious organizers and revolutionaries so that we can get the hell out of this condition. I turn you back into the hands of my national spokesman, and we'll be listening in and see you all Wednesday night. But we must gear up strong for the Day of Action and Unity number 3, October 1st. We have to gear up strong, for we are all that our people have, all the hope that they have. We are the last one standing, and there is certainly a lot of lives to be saved, a lot of truth to be told, a lot of enemies to be confronted, a lot of nation to be built. And we will move on that objective October 1st. I turn you back in the hands of Minister Sean Kwali and say Black Power.
Black Power. Hey, brothers and sisters, that is a special, special treat and surprise. Definitely a surprise for me. That's our national chairman. That was the man that I was talking to you about and telling you, teaching you about and telling you on. National Chairman, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and we're simply saying to you this, that the hands that you see around the world in terms of NATO, all of this is what you have to understand what it means. You have to know what's going on in the world today. And so this is the reason why, as I said in the beginning, that you have to be strong enough to stand up and to walk in the footsteps of our great ones. And so as I began to say, and I'm finishing saying, that what we have in the new Black Panther Party, it is unmatched. It is unmatched, as we have had now two overly successful events, and we continue to march on to October the 1st. We need your help. We cannot do this alone. There is no way that we will be successful or that we will be able to make the type of goals and the type of changes that we need to make and the type of movement that we need to have if we don't have your support. And so, as I mentioned, you must go to the website. For those of you who are internet savvy, for those of you in this modern technological age that you're internet savvy, you must go to the website. You must, I mean, almost really right now as we're talking, pop up another screen and type in dayofactionmovement.org. Don't click on Black Power Radio. You stay right there. But click on another screen, put up another tab, and type in dayofactionmovement.org and look at the majestic work that your brothers and sisters, spearheaded by the new Black Panther Party, man who you just heard from, our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, co-convening, co-organizing, and so many brothers and sisters, regular brothers and sisters on the ground. Look at the good works that these black men and black women have done. And we can do much, much more at a much quicker pace, at a much faster rate, if we have your help. If you would sit on your hands and sit at home and wait on some Casper the Friendly Ghost to come and deliver you food, we're going to be waiting a long time. If you're going to sit at home and watch and just look while we work and we organize, we're not going to make the type of progress that we need to make. That's dayofactionmovement.org. If you have your questions, make sure that you email us, because we do have an email. It's nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. Also, you can hit us on Facebook at National Day of Action page on Facebook. I mean, do these things immediately as though you need breath and you need running water in your house. You say, why is so much attention made and why is so much stress put on us to get involved with the Day of Action movement? Because right now the black nation is dead as hell in America. We've been put to sleep. We're like Lazarus, sleeping in the cave. We're asleep. We're sleeping while the world is in upheaval all around us. Overthrow and overturn is happening all around us. Every other nationality of people going for theirs and working for theirs and organizing for liberation and self-determination, the black man and black woman is comfortable in the might and in the so-called money of America, the luxury of America, the illusion, the trappings of America. But you have to know that just as ancient Rome fell, just as the ancient European nations fell, and even certain ancient Spanish and African nations fell at times when they deviated from the law of Maya, truth, balance, harmony, reciprocity, and order, when they deviated, America has done the ultimate deviation. America has kidnapped the sons and daughters of Africa and brought us here on a westerly course and has not and does not intend to treat us as equal citizens or as righteous men and women. You must join the Day of Action movement today. You must organize one way you live. If you're saying right now, I don't have a new Black Panther chapter in my city. If you're saying right now, I don't have a Day of Action movement in my city, then that means you have to start one where you are. That means you have the duty to begin where you are. There's so much that you can start in your city. Don't run around saying everybody in my city is dead. Nobody in my city is going to wake up. Nobody in my city is going to listen. They're all hard-headed. They're nothing but niggas. They're nothing but savages and this. Don't go around saying that. You don't have that vision. You don't have the vision. You got to have the vision. If you start the movement, if you begin positive activity, your people, the God nature within your people will respond. The God nature in your people will respond if you prick and activate the God and Goddess nature within the black man and black woman. But if you only speak to the negative, if you only speak to the lower half, if you only speak to the unpositive of the black man and black woman, and if you only talk to them in the same fashion that their oppressors talk to them, and you say that you'll be nothing, you ain't about nothing, especially when talking to the youth. If all they see from you and hear from you is negativity, then of course they're not going to want to follow you. Of course they're not going to want to get with you. Of course they're not going to want to support you because, hell, that's all we ever hear. All we ever hear is negativity. Get with the Day of Action movement. That's one iron we got in the fire, brothers and sisters. And I do want to say, for those of you who have organized with us in the past, secure your locations right now. You know how this game goes. Hate to call it a game. It's not a game, but you know how this goes. If the longer you wait, the harder this thing becomes. The longer you drag this thing out, the longer you let it just go like it's going, the longer you wait, the harder this thing becomes. If you go and I go to the people, if we go to the people right now and ask them for a venue, ask them for clothes, ask them to support, ask them to get behind us, they will get behind us. The people want to see some change. I don't know where you living at, but I know where I'm living at. I'm looking at a bunch of dissatisfied so-called Negroes. I'm looking at a bunch of dissatisfied black men and women that don't know what in the hell to do, but that they want to do something. I'm looking at people that's tired of being lied to, as Barack Obama ran on a ticket of change, and we ain't seen no kind of change. We ain't seen change yet. We still waiting on change. The best change we're getting is old Sam Cooke album saying a change is going to come. I'm looking at a bunch of people that are dissatisfied, that are tired and ready for change and ready to be organized, and I guarantee you, the same element that's here in my city is in your city. It takes those of us that are willing to be activists, those of us that are willing to be revolutionaries, those of us that are willing to be strong and to be courageous in this hour to act on the situation that we see. It's called inertia. Inertia means a state of being that will not act unless it is acted upon. I'm going to say it again. Inertia. It is a state of being that will not act unless it is acted upon. You hear in the scripture about man being made from dust. Well, when you look at dust and the nature of dust, dust does not move unless it is pushed. Unless you push dust and you make wind and you make motion, dust will not move. And in the same method, in the same manner, is the same thing that's going on with the black man and black woman. We're acting like dust. We're in a state of inertia. Slavery and post-traumatic slave disorder has put us in this state of inertia. So it takes those of you who are like the wind, those of you that are like Irene, those of you that are like the motion, it takes those of you, the enlightened ones, to make motion and make movement. You got to move your people. We have to move our people from beyond this present condition into a better condition. You can't sit back and say, I'd be with Marcus Garvey, I'd be with Harriet Tubman, I'd be with this one and that one, and not work in today's time. We have to move beyond this condition, because if you do that, Marcus Garvey has done that. If we do that, Harriet Tubman has done that. All of our ancestors will live on through us if we make the moves today. DayofActionMovement.com. Don't forget that website. NationalDayofAction@Yahoo.com. Email us your locations. Tell us where you're going to set up today. You should be thinking right now in your mind, where can I go to set up a venue for black people? Where can I have a rally at to rally my people to change? Where can I have a place at to do some clothes giveaways, some shoes giveaways, some mentorship programs? Where can I go to educate my people on black history? What can I do to uplift the community and uplift the morale of my people? What is it that I can do? You got to be thinking that right now. If not, you're dead as hell, and I'm going to force you on Black Power Radio to wake yourself up. That's number one in the oven. Number two in the oven, as I say, we have an international effort called the Tuba to Johnny Express. As I told you, we're intending to send over 3 tons of goods to Africa. Some of you silly ones, you say, why would you send stuff to Africa when we have things we got to do right here? That's silly as hell. That's silly as hell. You have to take care of home first. And as I've told you over the past hour and a half now, If you have not been treated like a citizen here in America, then common sense tells you you are not at home. If you have not received equal justice under the law here in America, you are not at home. If the police are running wild in the black community, assassinating anybody they can find over simple things like traffic stops and somebody talk to you funny and all this and tasering young black boys and girls to death, it should tell you, you are not at home. We have to return first mentally and spiritually and morally back home to the place where we were sane, to the place where we had order, to the place where we had harmony, and that is Africa. You got to return. But if you are one of those that you're saying, well, I'm not going anywhere because I have stake here, and your claim is valid, you do have stake here, then hell, the least you can do is send some good, send some humanitarian aid to Africa. Don't go talking no Red Cross to us. Red Cross is a pirate organization. It is a capitalist robbers organization. You don't know where in the hell your donation goes to when you send something through Red Cross and these other white so-called humanitarian aid organizations. You don't know what in the hell is happening. They just had a report about 4 months ago of criminal activity inside of Red Cross and these other organizations where they had to do internal audits. They had to do internal audits and look at the accounts and look at the records because much of the donations that our people were given to support, you know how they run these commercials where they show some African boys supposedly so malnourished or girls so malnourished, and you see some fat white man standing next to him on the commercial, and they show these swamplands in Africa, and this is supposed to touch your heartstrings, and they say, send your $5, send your donation, and we will make sure that a child gets a bite to eat. Well, yeah, that same white man that said, send your donation, the reason why he was fat was because he was putting your money in his pocket. We're not here to get rich off of you, brothers and sisters. We do this 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Our national chairman that you heard from, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, you know that black man does this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with money, without money, with cars, without cars, whatever. He gives his life, and we sacrifice our life to see not only Africa rise, but to see you rise here in America. That's worth some daggone clothes that you could send. That's worth some food that you could send. That's worth whatever donation. We're not accepting food right now. I'm just saying that's worth whatever you can send. And to be honest, that's worth your dollars. Too many of us do too much lip service. Do too much lip service, but you won't put your money where your mouth is. This organization does not run for free. And we got to keep the gas, the lights on, and printing costs. We got to do all that just like you got to do in your own household. So we do it on a national and international level. Some of you out there are listening to this show and will listen to this show in the future. You're going to have to begin to become regular donors to the new Black Panther Party monetarily as well. You're going to have to begin the same way that you'll go and give Reverend Chickenfoot 10% in the name of your Lord, and that's fine. But really, if you're giving it to Reverend Chickenfoot, the same way you give it to Reverend Hogmaw, the same way you go and give 10% without thinking about it because you've been told that that's what the Lord said do, I'm telling you, get a revelation and let the Lord tell you to donate to the new Black Panther Party. Don't allow our detractors to keep you away from that which is good. They did the same thing to your Jesus. They did the same thing to your Moses. They did the same thing to your Prophet Muhammad. They've done that all throughout the wheels of time. They have always kept the people away from righteous men and women of God. You must begin to become a monthly contributor. I'm not telling you what to give. I'm not some preacher on the radio or on TV trying to sell you a cloth and tell you to give your money and send your money so I can ride around like Bishop Eddie Long and private jets and Creflo Dollar and Rolls Royces. That ain't me. That ain't Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. That's not what we are about, brother and sister. We are all about the liberation of our people. When you see me in your city, Most of the time, I come there out of pocket on my own. When you see Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, majority of the time, when you see him, just like you saw him in New York on August the 13th, when you see him, when he be in Cincinnati, Ohio, or if he's in Los Angeles, California, or when he was in Jacksonville, Florida, he's on your college campus, or wherever you see us and you see him, I'm going to say 98% of the time, really I'm going to say almost 99% of the time, you see us because we have spent personal monies. We have scraped, we have worked, we have begged even at times, borrowed even at times. As they say, robbed Black Peter to pay Black Paul. We have done whatever it took to get to where you are so that we could deliver this message to you and organize the people in your area to do for self. We need people out there that are willing to become contributors to this party monetarily, but also, more importantly than the monetary, support us with your time, support us with your resource, support us with your ability, support us with your effort, support us with whatever you can to make this program flourish. And whether you do it or you don't do it, we're going to keep fighting on, but we're asking that you support this revolutionary movement called the New Black Panther Party. Hell, if they are willing to array 28 nations against the good of black people, if they're willing to organize in 28 nations against the rights of black people, if they're willing to organize in 28 nations with Article 5s and treaties against the self-determination of black people, then you have to already understand that you have to give whatever you can and do whatever you can to get free in the hells of North America. You have to make a move. There's no time to sit on the fence. There is no way that we can sit on the fence in this hour. To be honest, there is no fence. Maybe last year there was a fence. Maybe the year before last there was a fence, but this year there is no fence. You either, as the Panther Party of the 1960s say, you're either riding with us or you're colliding with us. You're either riding with the New Black Panther Party or you're going to collide with us. You're either riding with the Day of Action movement or you're going to collide with us. You're either riding with the liberation and salvation of a people who have suffered much or you're going to collide with us. There is no in-between. I'm not saying it to scare you. We love our people. Only people we want scared on Black Power Radio is you enemies and hypocrites and detractors of the freedom of black people. But we love our people. We want you to ride with us, but I'm just saying, there's no fence in this hour. There is no gray area where you can tiptoe with the New Black Panther Party 1 minute, and then the next minute you over here somewhere shuffling and buck dancing and bending over and giving evil an opening. There is no gray area today. Today is the time when you got to stand up like a black man and black woman. You got to stand up like a soldier. You got to stand up like a warrior. You got to stand up like the little god and goddess that you are and determine to yourself what you're going to do with your life. You can't spend the next 30 years of your life sitting around looking at goddamn Snooki on TV. Can't spend the next 30 years of your life sitting around watching entertainers like Lil Wayne make clowns of our people on TV. I mean, I'm not knocking the talent. I'm talking about their actions. They're making us look shameful on television. You can't sit around and watch these white supremacists kill us like they do. Some of you don't even believe that white supremacy is going on, that you think that the New Black Panther Party, that we're talking some kind of outdated dinosaur talk. But just a few weeks ago, a brother named James Anderson, in Jacksonville, Mississippi, was killed by two young white 18-year-olds. Two young white 18-year-olds who were trying to find any black person they could find. So guess what? That could have been you on that night. That could have been me on that night. They were trying to find any black person that they could find. And they ran across Brother James Anderson, who his only crime was he was standing out there by his car. For whatever reason, he might have been getting groceries out of his car. He might have left something in his car. You know how we do. Might have left his cell phone in his car. Anything. The only crime this man, this father, this brother, the only crime he committed was he was standing by his car and he was in the parking lot of a hotel that was directly next to the expressway where these two young white devils saw him. And immediately, like a pack of wolves, these two devils got out of their vehicles and began to assault Brother James. Begins, and when I say assault, see, assault is not even a hard enough word. They begin to brutalize him. They begin to terrorize Brother James. And they beat him almost to the point of death right there in the hotel parking lot. For those of you whites that you say you're so concerned what happens with the black community, you so concerned with what happens to us on an everyday basis, where were you at for James Anderson? I know there were plenty of white folks that were driving by and black folks that were driving by. I know there were plenty of people that were driving by right off the expressway. Where was the help for James Anderson in this hour? Beat him almost to the point of death. And he, with that strength that comes from our ancestors, was able to muster himself up off of the ground and rise to his feet and try to walk away from the confrontation, get away from the confrontation. These devils, these enemies of ours, took it upon themselves to get in their pickup truck. And as James Anderson was walking on the curb trying to make his way away from the situation, these devils ran over Brother James Anderson with their pickup truck. And all of this is on video right there in Jacksonville, Mississippi. Now, I know those of you that are listening on the East Coast or those of you that are listening on the West Coast or up North, some of y'all might just say, well, that's the South. That's how it happens in the South. But no, sir, no, ma'am. It's not the South. That's how it goes in the hells and smells of North America. That's how it goes. That you have people that act like predators and they prey on the weak. It's happening all through the housing market. When you look at the balloon inflation and all of that that's happening, it happens on an everyday basis. The predator preys on the weak. That's what happens. That's what American capitalism is all about. That's what imperialism is all about. That's what colonialism is all about. That's what Zionism is all about. That's what artificial borders is all about. That's what the American way is all about. It's all about domination. It's all about taking over. It's all about being strong and running over the weak. And so, of course, it's going to display in the minds and attitudes of the population in America. That's why we're called the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We're not telling you to get some black boots and get some black berets and some black uniforms and run around and look silly. We ain't telling you to do that. That's not what this is about. We're talking about some true defense for our people. I'm talking even to the party, to those that are registered with us. We're talking some true defense, some true serious defense, some concrete defense, some actual concrete steps to change what's happening, because this is a continuous situation that has not changed in four decades. So it's obvious that all of us are doing something wrong. And so Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman, had the idea to organize black people according to our dissatisfactions. Organize us according to the things that we have in common, our common suffering, that which we're going through on a day-to-day basis. He had an idea, and others joined in on the idea. Now we have National Days of Action. But soon, it's going to have to extend past beyond just where it is. soon it's going to have to extend all throughout the total scope of the globe. And soon, as all movements do, it's going to have to evolve into something so major that, hell, even he can't control it. Even he can't control it. Soon it's going to have to be so fierce and so bold and so on point and so poignant that, hell, it's in the hands of the people. When you hear the new Black Panther Party and the Black Panthers of the 60s, the 60s and 70s say power to the people, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about power to the people, control for the people, self-determination for the people, freedom for the people. We're talking about us being able to determine our own destiny and putting our own future in our own hands. And really, it's all about our babies and our children. And so, hell, let me say this, that no matter what's going on, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what happens in life, hell, at the end of the day, it's about our babies and it's about our future. That's just what it's about, period. I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this for you. You can't do it for you. You got to do it for the future. I don't want my children to exist in this situation. It scares me to death. It bothers me that my babies would have to grow up in a world where they have to worry about some old nasty, freakish, licentious person, uncle, friend, whoever touching them. You know, it bothers me that they got to worry about some silly individual shooting guns and automatic weapons and hitting them and, you know, all this type of stuff that we face in our community. This bothers me. It should bother you. It should make you uncomfortable, the conditions that we face on a day-to-day basis. This stuff is insane, brothers and sisters. Only an insane man or woman would like to exist in these type of conditions. Only an insane, crazy, out of your mind, silly individual would like to stay where we are and not move away from this condition and move away from this situation. If you have any type of sanity in your mind, if you have any ounce of dignity in your mind, I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm saying if you have any sense of sanity and any sense of dignity in your mind, you have to want to see a change in the community. And it's more than just talk. Like I said, Libya is going buck wild. Other nations are going buck wild. Anybody else who finds themselves in just a third, not even a third of what we go through, they go buck wild. But because we have factors against us, we're slower to move. As Minister Malcolm X told you over 30 years ago, he said it, we don't want you talking to us about no odds. He said this next upcoming generation, they're not going to be talking about the odds is stacked against us. We can't do it because of the odds, and this and that. Nah, hell no. Either we going to do it or we ain't. Either we're going to make the move or we not going to make the move. Either we're going to go for an exodus or we're going to stay right here. Period, point blank. There's an old adage that says do or do not do. Either we're going to do it or we ain't going to do it. I'm saying I'm determined to do it. I'll do it with you or without you. You got to have the same spirit. Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz got the same spirit. He'll do it with us or without us. You got to organize around the naysayers. I'm talking about even in your own personal life, when you have people that stand up against you to get in your way, stop your objectives, stop your goal, become naysayers, become detractors, become evil-minded persons and people, hell, you got to be willing to organize around them. See, it does no good to be a revolutionary, to be a panther, to be whatever if you're not willing to make that change, and I can't make that change in my own life. Make no difference what you call yourself. Doesn't matter. If we can't organize for the good of our people and our community and our nation and affect our own lives, none of this matters. We're trapped in organizations, trapped in books, and trapped in scholarship, and we can't change our own lives. That's why the Day of Action movement is a practical movement. You can't buy no ticket and go to the Day of Action movement. Not really. You can't plan 3 months ahead, say I'm going to get on an airplane and go to the Day of Action movement. That's not what this is about. The Day of Action movement is designed to happen in your town, in your city, and even in your home. Let me take a call here with a few minutes left here. 973-592, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question, please, or comment, Black Power. 973-592, you're on the air. Okay, don't guess they're ready. So all I'm saying is this, fam. All I'm saying is this. You cannot buy a ticket. It happens with you. If we're going to get free, if we're going to get liberated mentally, spiritually, morally, economically, it's going to happen by our own hands. It's going to happen by our own hands. I'm just saying. You can wait around and wait for some benevolent organization, some benevolent whatever, to come and save us, and we're going to still be in the same condition. It's not going to change a thing. You got to do it by your own hands. The Tuba to Johnny Express is going to happen by our own hands. A land of our own will happen by our own hands. And here to be real, brother and sister, when these imperialists and these globalists make their move in the hills of North America, your defense will happen by your own hands. Don't you get so comfortable in thinking that what you see afar ain't going to happen at your own door. Right now, how they are bombing innocent men, women, and children right now. You got to already know in your mind that there's going to come a time when you're going to have to survive. You're going to have to be willing to stand up for your future, stand up for your cause, stand up for your babies and your children, stand up for your kings and your queens, and stand up for yourself. They're going to come that time. Hell, that time really is right now. Ain't going to come no time. The time is now. There's no way that all this can be happening across the world and it not soon happen right here on our front door. Now, I know that's scary to many of us. But as I said in the beginning, there is no way that we can get free unless we cross the Red Sea, which is war, bloodshed, and revolution. There's no way you're going to get free. You're not going to be able to sing your way out of it. Yeah, you're not going to be able to read your way out of it. You're not going to be able to meditate and even pray your way out of it. All of that is good. All of it is great. I'm not making mockery. I'm saying there's going to have to be concrete action behind everything that's immaterial. Just saying black power, that doesn't get you black power. Just pumping your fist in the air and saying all power to the people, that doesn't get you power to the people. Just even holding a gun and loading your gun and putting bullets in the gun, that does not get you power. If there are no concrete actions, no real solutions and concrete actions and mode of action behind what it is that we're doing, we'll still be in the same condition. You can have Medina Torah, you can have Bible, you can have Quran and still be dumb as hell and still be a slave in 2011. We got to have the right mentality, got to have the right modus operandi, we got to have the right effort behind what we're doing. And so I don't see how we can fail. Out of everything that we have tried as a people, we have not come together in collective cooperation and collective unity. Doesn't mean that you're going to agree with everything that I say, that Sean Qualley says. Doesn't mean that you're going to agree with everything that the new Black Panther Party says. Doesn't mean that you're going to stand with us on every single solitary point of our program. Doesn't mean that. I love my parents. I don't agree with everything my parents say. We have generational differences. But I love my parents. And you better not talk against my parents. You better not move against my parents or I'll slaughter you. That's how we got to be with each other. You got to love for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. Same with my family, same with my children, same with their mothers. Hell, may not agree with everything, but hell, I love them, period. Don't move on them. Don't mess with them or I'll slaughter you. So you got to be like that for your own people. I'm like that for my people. You got to be like that for your people. So I'm saying, doesn't mean you're going to agree with us on everything. Does not mean that you're going to stand with us on everything. Don't mean that you're going to roll with us on everything and at every single solitary point, you're going to just happen to love and then you get what it is. It does not work like that. Cooperative, collective responsibility, cooperative organizational efforts, cooperative economics means that we agree that things are messed up, that things could get better, that things need to improve. And we can pick and choose the methods on by which we're going to do things to overthrow what's happening. Some of you are economic experts. Some of you are agricultural experts. Some of you out there, you're mathematical geniuses. Some of you out there, you know, you're organizational geniuses. Some of you are writing gods and goddesses, blogging gods and goddesses. Some of you are mechanics and you can fix and you can manufacture. Others of you are brick masons and laborers. Others of you deal with construction. Some of you deal with tile, flooring, carpeting, on and on and on. Some of you just are good at dealing with dirt and mud and construction. I mean, just whatever. All of us out there have some kind of ability and talent that we've had to learn to survive in North America that we can use to build up a land of our own. Let the record reflect as this goes out into the future. All of us have talents and things that we have learned in the hills of North America that we could use to ultimately build a land of our own. And it is treasonous and criminal if we don't take the time to organize for ourselves. You may not believe in going back to Africa, but you damn sure know that you can't stay here in this condition. You know for a fact you are not going to be able to stay in this condition for another 400 years, another 200 years, another 100 years, another 50 years. There is no way. There is no way it would happen. There is no way that we're going to make it. There is no way that we can survive. There is no way that we can thrive. There is no way that if we took 50 or 60 or 70 more years in this condition, that we would be able to thrive as an independent nation with a backbone and to stand as an independent people. We have to determine for ourselves now that in 2011 will be the greatest year. Going off into 2012, which will be an even greater year. Going off into 2013, which God willing, will be an even greater year than the years before that. We have to make our own destiny. Stop playing by the dictates of your oppressor. Stop playing with the mentality of your oppressors, playing by the rule of your oppressor. Stop playing by their rules and their game. Let me take one more call now. I'll get you in here before we run out of time here. 504-432, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or comment, Black Power.
Oh, Black Power, my brother. This is what I want to see. I believe, do you believe that you can, how you get people to come in to join in with you all is by educating through activity, because I believe that's how the original Panthers, how they got, they got members, but also they had the community backing them up through educating through activity.
No doubt about it. I've tried to really put some weight on that for the past almost 2 hours. That what we're saying, especially with this Day of Action movement, is that it's about observation and participation. That's what the Panthers call it, observation and participation. We have now for over 400 years observed what's happening, my brother. We see it every day. And so now we're going to the stage of participating in liberating what's happening to the people. So absolutely we agree with that. That's the position that we're pushing on. That's the position that we're operating on. And anybody that's down with that, then hell, get with us and roll with us.
Okay, my brother. I think y'all doing a good job, you know, because y'all the only, to me, I see the only black organization that's really going out there and doing something, because some of these groups, you know, I don't see what they really have been doing. You know, it look like some of them, you know, manipulate the people like they're going to do this and do that. But when it's time to do it, you know, it's all kind of stuff, you know.
You're right about that. And the thing is, brother, they talk about a time of separation. And so as we as a people, as we begin to mobilize and organize together, those that are fraudulent, or those that are here specifically to bloodsuck the people and take away from the people instead of give and sacrifice, they will expose themselves. And so I'm not going to spend too much time even worried about them, because you see them like I see them. But if we continue to talk about them and only focus on them, we're not doing our work, brother. So
okay. All right, my brother, Black Power.
Hey, Black Power, thank you for your call.
All right.
Let me get another one in here. 708-725, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or your comment, please. Black Power.
That's it, man.
708-275. Your mic is open. Your question or comment?
Black Power, brother. I'm just listening in tonight.
All right, Black Power family. Thank you for listening. And so, dear family, I mean, it's pretty crystal clear. It is pretty crystal clear the moves that we have to make. And as I'm saying here, we don't all have to do the same thing. All of you, you know, one of the number one fears, according to statistics, is public speaking. All of you don't have to speak in public. You don't have to do what I'm doing and travel and all that type of deal. All of you can't do what Dr. Malik Shabazz is doing or anybody in the party. It might not be your thing. You might be afraid of black cats. You might not even want to be a Panther. That's what your thing is. That's on you. That's fine. But I'm saying this, that as a people, we have to make a move. We have to make a collective move. When the people of Libya fight, guess what? Those that are with Gaddafi, they ride with Gaddafi. Those that are with Africa, they ride for Africa. Those that are with the people of Egypt against Hosni Mubarak, they rose against Hosni Mubarak. They didn't say, well, you a Christian, I'm a Muslim, this. No, they rode together. Got one more last call in here. It's the last call tonight, I promise. 757-333 on the air, Black Power Radio. Your question or comment, Black Power.
Black Power, you're talking to Queen Sheba. You coming? You might not be coming long, but you coming strong. That's what time
you,
it
sister.
Is for us to get out there and fight for our people, because we got 2 minutes on white devils killing our people. One guy was riding a bike over there in Cleveland, Ohio, and police shot him down. He riding a bicycle, 21 years old.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's how they do. Just riding a bike and riding a cycle. That's what they do. I'm not surprised, sister.
But you know, I told them, the most of the sisters that I talked to, what they need to do. We got to get in that kitchen and make them cupcakes, if you know what I mean.
You know, sister Winnie Man, sister Winnie Mandela, she put together what was called the Donuts, where all of those who were traitorous, or all of those who were treacherous to our people, she put tires around their necks and yeah, she put gasoline around the tires, and you know what happens next. All these actions. Now, to those listening, all these actions seem pretty harsh, and the cupcakes that sister she was talking about, all that seems harsh. But I'm saying this, though, and all this I'm saying is self-defense. If you are attacked, then you defend yourself. But I'm saying this, that what is more harsher, what we're saying to do in self-defense, defend yourself, or what's being done to you? What's more harsh, being tased to death in the street because your brake light was out? I saw a video where a black woman was pulled out of her vehicle. But the officer, the state trooper, pulled her out of her vehicle, slammed her on the ground, put his knee all in her back, slammed her face all on the concrete, and just really roughed her up pretty bad. I mean, this is what's going on around the hills of North America. So what's more harsher, you defending yourself or you being brutalized?
You're right, defending yourself. But Brother Khalid want to say something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Black power, brother.
Black power, Brother Khalid. How are you, sir? All black to us.
I'm black and proud, brother. But you're right, you just can't say black power just to be saying it, take action. As what you were saying, I like what you said about the youth and the gang, so-called gang members. Because damn it, ain't the gangs for real. The government is the gang. That you got to go and talk to them. Don't be scared. Because people going to sense that you're scared. You know what I'm saying? You're saying you black or for the people. Because the churches, you're right, everybody else failed us. They're just talking. They're telling us. They got you on a spook ride. Everybody else telling us. You know what I'm saying? Some people, you know, they scared of the Panther Party because they're scared of themselves. They're scared of being black and proud. So we, as people, us, we still holding it up as not selling out. You know what I'm saying? Even, I got to say, even with the original Panther, we respect them. Even they had started accepting white people and doing stuff, and that's where you'll fall at. So we respect them and love them, but we got to carry on and be stronger than what they're doing. Don't give up. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you standing up and doing what you do, because they don't know our life is on the line every day. They're saying you're a Black Panther or just putting on that uniform and going to the people. So I appreciate you and love you, brother. Peace.
I love you and appreciate you, brother, and I thank you for your words. And you're right. As I said, the U.S. government is the biggest gang and the biggest gangsters in the world in conjunction with NATO and all those others that stand on imperialism. And you got to be strong, period, point blank. And I'm stressing this. It's not just the brothers. I'm tired of it always being the brothers that are displayed as being the strong ones, when we know damn well that it's always the black woman that's behind us and beside us and next to us and oftentimes in front of us, way ahead of us, pushing this thing forward. If you're in an organization, sister, and your organization is suppressing you because you're a female, then fight like hell to get your voice and your talent heard. Fight like hell to get your voice and your talent heard in every black organization, no matter what it is, no matter where it is. Get yourself heard and stop being a victim to the sexism and the macho machismo sickness that we have as men. Stop it. You can stop it right now. But if you allow yourself to be put in that position, then us, the sickness of us oftentimes as men, we're going to allow that to permeate. It's a sad effect of slavery. But thank you so much for your words, family. And again, we're at the end of Black Power Radio. And I'll try to take one more call on the after show, but we thank you so much for those of you that hung with us on the air. Make sure that you listen. Get with our website, dayofactionmovement.com, nationaldayofactionyahoo.com. Hit us up on Facebook. If we're not Facebook friends, you can hit me up on Facebook, Sean Kwali. And I'll try to get this, did they hang up here? Okay, so they're gone. And so, yeah, and make sure that you join us. And I'm not shying away from that. Make sure you join us in the movement of the new Black Panther Party. We could use more leadership. We could use more membership. We could use more brothers and sisters that are willing to take this program to the next level and to the next phase of development and make everything I'm talking about a concrete reality. I can't do it by myself. Dr. Attorney Malik Lewis-Shabazz can't do it by himself. The National Committee can't do it by themselves. No chapter, the new Black Panther Party, can just do it by itself or a few members. We have to have this thing in a massive drove and a massive cadre. If it ain't nothing but 10 strong in a city, they got to be some of the 10 strongest, most professional, most dedicated, most disciplined, most uncompromising, revolutionary brothers and sisters anywhere to be found. So email us. We're getting our website up. I'm working with it. Brother Dennis Latham working with it. We're getting the website together. I got a lot on my plate, but I'm still rolling. NBPPHQ@yahoo.com. NBPPHQ@yahoo.com. That's the way that you find out how to join. And we get you in there. You get your application in there. You go through some classes. You go through some training. No longer will you just be able to say that you're a parent and you ain't been trained. You don't know what the hell you're doing. Go through some classes. Get your training. Get your application in and get registered the correct way and stand and represent your people. And so I'm done. I'm your brother. I'm your soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Kwali, reminding you to get with us for our National Day of Action, October the 1st, all throughout the health and smells of North America, dayofactionmovement.com, National Day of Action, yahoo.com. Hit me up on Facebook, Sean Kwali. I'm your brother, and I'm with you. Black Power.